say again, hallowed be your name. We enter your word with the reverence that it deserves. We're fully conscious of our human limitations, limitations of the human mind in its present condition to deliver and to receive your word as we should. And so we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. We ask you to come and help us. In particular, anoint me afresh. Help me to speak as I should as an oracle of God. Put the same anointing, Father, upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that you will draw by your Spirit to hear me. Those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically. This word will have free course from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and our emotions to be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God released in more than sufficient measure to heal, to deliver, to break yokes and free men, so that indeed they will become doers of the things which they hear, and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy, to be faithful in the delivery of the word, that I might do it with precision, redeem the time, and speak only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all those in agreement with that prayer, receiving the blessings therein in their life, said, amen. We're continuing our study in God's Word this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's the great chapter on the resurrection. The Apostle Paul took a lot of time to write to the Corinthians, and by extension to the entire church, about the vital importance of the understanding of the resurrection. And I'll just briefly recapitulate. Number one, the resurrection is a fact. It was witnessed by eyewitnesses, Peter, the 11. I was sharing this on Wednesday. Mary Magdalene, you know, and then later on, 500 brethren all at once, you know. And, of course, he appeared in vision form to the Apostle Paul. And incidentally, you know, God is so wise, Pastor G. In our own generation, when the last generation ticked, God sent Jesus to Kenneth Hagin. So that this generation will have an anchor. It's, you know, of course, we know what's in the Bible, but you know, for Jesus to appear to somebody, you know, in our own generation, it really helped us, praise the Lord. You know, and he appeared to Kenneth Hagin, not once, not twice. You know, so it was, he appeared to a lot of other people too, but not the same way he appeared to Kenneth Hagin. In many of the other people, they just see him and he disappear, you know, or he would just touch them or heal them. But in Kenneth Hagin's case, it's very, very different. He taught him. Consistently over years, he would appear, teach him, you know. And I shared with us last time, Kenneth Hagin saw the holes in his hands. Kenneth Hagin himself, you know, we're so religious. I'll never forget. He said, you know, we get all these ideas that, you know, the thing healed up. It didn't. He said he saw the holes in his hands. So these are facts. Then, apart from that, these witnesses, when you get born again, you get born again by faith in the resurrection. The power that changes your nature is an outflowing from the resurrection. So your new birth and the witness that you have in your heart that your nature has changed is also evidence of the resurrection. You know, and that's the difference in Christianity and other religions. All the religions are religions. In other words, they all preach basically the same thing, which is what is known as the golden rule. That you should do unto others as you want others to do unto you. You can sum up most religions that way, you know, be kind, be good. The problem is the power to do it. You can have all the right ideas, but if you don't have the ability, a man's nature is such that it has an inclination to sin. We don't understand that. Like what's called mystery of iniquity. It's a mystery. You know, you'll find, you know, just like a little child. They want to do the wrong thing, you know. And that's why we know that when we get born again, that nature is changed. And it's only that experience that can change that nature. You can have good men, in quotes, you know, with a godly disposition, who may not be born again, who try. But without that divine input, you know, it cannot be, it will not be solid, it will not be consistent, and given the right set of circumstances and pressures, it will crumble. It's only the one that has Jesus inside, you know, that comes through. And that's why the resurrection is a reality. It changes our spiritual nature by faith in it, you know. So when we get born again, that's how we get born again, by believing Jesus died for our sins, he suffered, and by believing he was raised again from the dead. And it's that raising from the dead, that power that was wrought when he was raised from the dead, is that same power that enters your heart when you get born again, you know. And that witness that you have, you experience it inside. The witness is your own personal evidence of the resurrection. Hallelujah. You know, I like what that blind man said. You know, they said, what did he said? Look, I'm not going to get into theological argument with you people. One thing I know, I was blind and now I see. Same thing with yours truly, Lubi Johnson here. You know, I don't care what other people, religion, I don't care what anybody says. One thing I know, I was blind and now I see. One thing I know, I was a sinner, now I'm righteous. Now, I don't know about you, but I have that personal witness. The Bible says, he that had the Son had the witness in himself. Now, you can deny it. That's your... Now, that would be sad for you. But it's there. Praise the Lord. And these are all attestations to the evidences of the reality of the resurrection. One other very spectacular and... evidence of the resurrection is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus said this to the apostles. He said, I'm going to die, and when I'm raised from the dead, and then after he was raised from the dead, he said, I'm going to go to the Father, and when I go to the Father, he will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and he will bear witness of me. And true to God, you know, 50 days after after he'd been raised from the dead, something so spectacular happened in a place in Jerusalem, in a house called the Upper Room. The power of the Holy Spirit came mightily down on these apostles, and there was a spectacular thing that happened. They began to speak in supernatural, in languages that they had never learned naturally. And Jesus himself had attested to this in Mark 16, in the Great Commission. He said, these signs are for them that believe, they will speak with new tongues. Now that's another evidence. And me, who I'm talking to you, I experienced it. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I began to speak in a supernatural language. And then later on, I discovered I was speaking in Aramaic by a classmate of mine, or roommate rather, who was Indian and Hebrew. You know, this was in England. So, I don't know about you, but for me, resurrection is real. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, speaking in tongues is another powerful evidence of the resurrection. Because it was the resurrection that was the trigger that God used to send the Holy Spirit to us. Amen. These are incontrovertible evidences. These are, you know, you of course, you can always use your human unbelief to wave them away, but trust me, whether you wave it away or not is a reality. Your own believing of it is only for your own personal benefit. Shall our unbelief made of none effect the word of God? Say, God forbid. You know, let's learn something. You know, what you do towards the word of God doesn't change the word of God. If you do it positively, it will change you. And you'll be blessed by it. If you don't, the word of God is still the word of God. The resurrection is a fact. Hallelujah. And 2,000 years of human history attest to the fact of the resurrection. It is the nations that have embraced this truth of the resurrection have become the greatest nations on the earth. First of all, England, later on America. And up till today, you like it too. You don't like it too. When you write a date, what is today's date? It is the 8th day of February in the year 2015, in the year of whether he's your Lord or not. Hallelujah. Now, if he's not your personal Lord, you know, you are still forced to acknowledge it. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. I like what one scripture said. He said, you cannot do anything against the truth but for the truth. It's the truth. God, so 2,000 years of human history. And like I said, Derek, I think on Wednesday, you know, while we're praying, even the history of Israel, the nation of Israel, again, is another powerful evidence of the veracity of this book called the Bible. Hallelujah. And if the Bible is true, the resurrection is true, because the Bible bears witness of the resurrection. Glory be to God. And so the resurrection is a fact. And the Apostle Paul, in these first few verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll just read the 10th verse, you know, where he says, but by the grace of God, I didn't hear you. Verse 10, please. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are nothing except by the grace of God. Hallelujah. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored what? More abundantly than they all. Yet, not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Let me just recapitulate. The grace of God is the favor of God that causes him to release divine life. It is that life that now enables you to labor. The labor here isn't just physical work. It includes that. Please don't misunderstand me. But more importantly, it includes spiritual labor. You know, it takes labor to pray. Hallelujah. The Bible says laboring fervently in prayer. You have to labor in the Word of God. That's why Christians don't do it. It's work. It's spiritual work. Jesus said it's the work, you know, that you believe on him. You know, believing, confession, prayer, reading the Bible, meditate. It's all spiritual labor. And without grace, you can't do it. That's why many people don't do it. Hello? It takes the grace of God in sufficient measure to be able to do it, especially when it comes to doing it diligently, doing it consistently. When I became a Christian, I discovered it was a big problem. Big problem for me to pray. Big problem for me to read my Bible. Hello? I was shocked. I thought it would be a walk in the park. It wasn't. That would be easy. You know, I was going down the river, but I sleep. The thing you used to amaze me. I didn't initially. I it was very subtle. You know, then I began to watch it. Whenever I wanted to pray, I would start feeling tired. Or my head would pain me. Then I noticed that if I decide not to pray and talk or watch television or do something with other people, the headache goes. Then I said, an enemy has done this. That's how I learned a lot of things. And I realized it wasn't coincidence. You know, I watched it over time. You know, they tell you, oh, read your Bible every day. I said, okay, I'll do it. And if I can't read it, either you things will squash the time out or you'll be in a hurry. And I said, there's somebody who is trying to stop me from doing this thing. Hello? Then with time, I began to learn, you know, to pray, ask God for mercy, grace. And that's how, and then I discovered that it takes divine enablement to do those things. Hello? So Paul said, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was what? With me. It takes the grace of God to do what God wants you to do. That's why this Christian walk is a walk of faith. Hallelujah. We walk by faith and not by sight. Because when you walk by faith and you receive grace, and it is grace through faith that enables you to do what God wants you to do. And that you can still go one step back, which I haven't mentioned, which is humility. Humility opens the door to grace. Grace opens the door to life. Life opens the door to diligence and all the other things. Hello? So at the base, at the bottom, what you find is the heart. And that's why God is always looking at the heart. He's always looking at the heart. Your heart, attitude, honesty, humility. Those are the foundational things that attract the mercy and the grace of God, which will now give you life and power to now do what God wants you to do. That's why you should jealously guard, your heart. Your heart attitude is something you need to watch constantly. I preached for some people recently, about 2 weeks ago. They invited me for a leadership conference, and I was teaching them on this. You know, talk about excellence in ministry. I've actually put it up as a weekly rhema. The first one came out today. If you go onto the website, you'll see it there. On excellence in ministry. And I actually learned this from Kenneth Copeland. When I had been called by the Lord, and I came back to Nigeria, and I was working with Brother Emiko, Kenneth Copeland sent Brother Emiko a whole truck of his books and tapes, free. That we should, distribute it, and sell them, distribute them throughout Nigeria, for the church. That was a great blessing. And I will never forget, Brother Emiko called me to his office and said, Olubi, go and listen to these tapes. They're very important. It was called 6 Steps to Excellence in Ministry. Never forgotten. And the main thing Kenneth Copeland says that if you want to have excellence in ministry, excellence in life, make sure you have an honest and a humble heart. Because you have to renounce the hidden things. That's where I got it from. And it stuck with me for 35 years now. Hidden things of dishonesty. You're not going to go far with God if you're not honest and humble. Because you won't have grace. And if you don't, let's put it this way, you will not have sufficient grace. You will have grace that will take you to heaven. As far as he says, his spirit will be saved, but he will suffer loss. But the extra grace you need for spiritual excellence and get all the things God and fulfill destiny, you are not going to get it if you don't practice and treasure honesty and humility of heart. And over the years, I've been a pastor, and I've interacted with both the followership as well as the leadership of the church body of Christ, both here in Nigeria and outside. I've discovered that the reason why many Christians they're not diligent in prayer, they're not diligent, they don't mind physical labor, but when it comes to spiritual, it's because of this thing. The average person is not humble enough. It's not honest. All kinds of trickery, handling the word of God deceitfully. And you can't do all of that kind of thing and get grace in sufficient measure. And if you don't have grace in sufficient measure, then you can't pray. And I find most people, they pray 10 minutes, 15 minutes in the spirit and the petrol will finish. Amen. Why? Because it takes grace to release the life, which is the fuel, in sufficient measure. And then not only in sufficient measure, that there's a constant supply. Because if you start and the supply stops, hello, Paul actually uses that word. It's somewhere in Philippians. He said, talk about the supply of the Spirit. Give me that scripture. I don't know where it is. I know where it is, but what I mean is I don't have the exact verse. I think it's Philippians. It's Philippians 2 or something, somewhere in there. It says this, it talks about the supply. It's not like NMPC supplying you petrol. Hello? Supply. It's a supply. Thank you. Philippians 1:19. It says, I know, open your mouths, that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer
and the what?
Supply. There's a flow here. The supply of the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? You cut the supply line. Amen? Or block it. And that's what happens many, many times. And that's why we should treasure this heart. This, you know, I preached some years ago on David's heart. You know, that's why God showcased David in the Bible. I think apart from Jesus, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't think there's any other person that has been written as much about in the scriptures, particularly in the Old Testament, than David. David, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, 1 Kings. One man, oh, I mean, they wrote about other people, but David is the major person. Amen. 1 Kings, 2 Kings, Psalms. Do you know how big Psalms is? Proverbs. They say Solomon is David. So exactly, borrowed anointing is David. It's just like Luke is Paul. It's Luke, but it's Paul. Acts of the Apostles is Luke, but it's Paul. Hello, somebody. Are you listening to me? Yeah. Can you imagine? One man. And God singles this out so that it could grab our attention, so that generations that are coming can copy it. I have found, it means he was looking. It means that it was not a common thing. I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my power. A man after my miracles. A man after my own heart. God singles him out. Now is the secret. David understood. He said, you know, when he was saying, he said, offering I have not given. He said, I know you. He said, it's not the bull and the goat I'm going to kill. That's God. It was, nobody told him. There was no Hebrews when David was writing. Hello? He picked it by the Spirit. He said, I know that it's not the bull I'm going to... He said, but a humble and a contrite heart. He said, oh Lord, you will not despise. He understood that God dealt with the heart. If we can understand that and be like David and be people after God's own heart, and we are always checking our hearts, making sure our hearts is right, we're going to go far with God. Hello? Because it's the door to mercy and grace. And how did David make it? Mercy and grace. And that's why it says in Psalm 30, verse 5, it says, in your favor there is life. And this will enable us to labor. And so let's now, for today, let's go to verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 12. And we will read from there. It says, now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? How absurd. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. And yea, we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified that he raised up Christ from the dead, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Can anybody fool you? It means everything we are saying is complete nonsense and rubbish. If the dead don't rise. Folks, live in this reality. There is a life after this life. The dead are raised. And Jesus said it this way. He says, some to damnation, some to resurrection of life. That's why the way you are living now is going to determine the way you're going to live in the days to come. Christianity is not only for this life. Isn't it a paradox, Pastor G, that religious tradition, after the, you know, primarily because of the Dark Ages, you know, and then after the Reformation of Martin Luther, you know, and the Wesley, you know, Wesley revivals in England, and the Bible came back, and you know, people now concentrated only on heaven. The devil, in order to try and emasculate the church and make her ineffective in this world, turned all of our attention, but all your reward when you get to heaven. I went to a funeral the other day. When we all get to heaven, we'll shout and get the victory. So I'm only going to get victory when I get to heaven. When am I going to get healed? When I get to heaven. When am I going to prosper? When I get to heaven. When am I going to have peace? When I get to heaven. So we put everything on heaven. For the last 200 years, 300 years, you know, since the Reformation, 500 really, you know, and concentrate on that. And it wasn't wrong, you know, it just that it was not a complete gospel. So when the Pentecostal revival now came, you know, and baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we began to cast out the devil, and without concentrating on the earth, God wants you to bless. God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to be prosperous. Hallelujah. You know, and then we forgot about the heaven. We always go to extremes. The truth is both. Having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. To be a balanced Christian, you have to keep both of them before you. Yes, God wants me blessed now, but I must not use the blessing of now to mortgage the blessing of the one to come. Hello? Are you getting it? So, I use my faith for both. I use my faith for the life that now is, and I'm also preparing for the life that is to come. Because I like it or I don't like it, the resurrection is a fact. It was a Reverend Lashley, because I saw this in his office many, many years ago. He's now Bishop of Wundo. He was here for news weddings. Good friend of mine, and he used to help us when we first started Scripture Pasture. He used to help me with weddings, and because we didn't have all that. We're using Buddhist National School. We didn't have so many of these things, you know, at that time. Anyway, I went to his office one day. He was a lecturer in UI. My wife and I, too, were lecturers in UI. So he was in the Department of Arts, where my wife is English. And so one day I went to visit him. You know, I'll never forget it. He had this sign in his office. He said, "The only one thing that is certain in this life is what we least prepare for, death." You know, every other thing you're doing in this life is uncertain. So it can happen, it may not happen. Amen. It can happen, it may not happen. But there's one thing that is certain that is going to happen to you, is that you're going to die. And interestingly, devil is a bad devil. You know, that one that is certain, and that one that is inescapable, is the one you should be preparing for the most. And you know what? It is the one men prepare for the least. It's as if it's not going to happen. Wishing it away. Nobody's shouting hallelujah. I was a pastor I started to. I don't like those kind of preaching. Lack of my preaching book. You're so silly. Whether they preach about Oku or not, the thing is coming to meet you. Don't give me negative confession. You better prepare. For that's what I'm going to be talking about now before I close. You know, death. You live this life. Yes, enjoy this life. God has given us things to enjoy. You know, don't let's go to the aesthetic, something that, you know, the early church, you know, the church of the dark ages went into, and everything was just concentrated on heaven. And, you know, in those days, you know, that's why people became monks. That's why they became fathers, and you know, because they just said there's no point doing anything in this life, just concentrate, just get to heaven.
And you gave you a wrong picture of Christianity. Have you ever heard as poor as a church mouse? You came from the dark ages. Poverty was equated to spirituality. So if you really wanted to be pious, if you really wanted to serve God, you have to be poor and don't have anything, live an aesthetic life. That's why you go and live in a monastery somewhere, so you could just meditate, you could just pray, stay away from this evil world, and then when you finally die, you go to heaven. True! But Jesus said you should be lights shining in this dark world. Amen. You haven't affected the world. So you passed the wrong message across. And how many people see you and want to be like you? Who wants to be like a monk? It's uninteresting. And it was not what Jesus taught at all. Even though it had an element of truth in it. So you got to get the balance. Now, we have to be serious about the resurrection. That's where we got all this from. It says, next verse, verse 13. Lord help me. And if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. 14. Okay, we've said all of this. 15. 16. 17. Aha. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain or ineffective. And you are yet in your sins. The thing that removes sin, the sin nature, is the resurrection power. So if Christ is not raised, then your faith is vain and then your sin nature remains. Next verse. Then they also which are fallen in Christ, asleep in Christ, are perished. This is the verse I want, my favorite verses. Next one. Next one. If in this life only. Now notice the word only. You see, that's what I was preaching. It's not only. Yes, we have hope in this life, but it's not the only one. It's not the only hope. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I'm going to say something I said some years ago. You know, that's why the place is full of miserable Christians. Full of miserable Christians. Going from Shiloh to camp meeting, from camp meeting to hope meeting. Everybody looking for something, and every time they don't get it, the hope is deferred. Then the heart gets sick, and then they get miserable. You know why? Your only hope is in this life. They are only serving God for this life. The breakthrough, the Abuja job, the visa, the wife, the husband, the child. And if they don't get any of those things, their heart gets sick. Because the only thing they can see for God is this life. That's why if in this life only you have hope in Christ, you're going to be miserable. Because the things of this life are transient. And that's why you have to grow spiritually. Sometimes you believe in God for something, it doesn't come immediately. What do you do in the meantime? Get miserable? No! The hope of the resurrection pushes you on. Give the Lord a clap offering. My hope is not only for this life. Even if I'm believing God for something that hasn't yet come, I set it aside and I still concentrate on the more important hope. The one of the resurrection. And he that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And if I have, and you ain't no funny thing, God is so wise. If you now purify yourself, and you the one that that was disappointed will now come. Because it prospers even as your soul prospers. So you are the one dribbling yourself. No wonder why James says, he says, deceiving your own selves. He says, you hear, you don't do. See, if you're deceiving, you didn't deceive God, though. You're deceiving yourself. Put God first. Put the resurrection. Put the things of the kingdom. Now, also believe for the things of this life. But if they don't, if there is a delay in their coming, it's not going to change. Because what the contract between me and God is far beyond this life. When I understand that, then I have my Christianity in its correct perspective. And then the disappointments and the delays of this life will not sidetrack me. Am I talking to anybody here? Okay. So, let's move on. Verse 19. Verse 20. But now, I like Paul, is Christ risen from the dead? Hallelujah. I didn't hear you. But now, is Christ risen from the dead? And become the what? First fruits of them that slept. Now, Jesus is the first person to have a resurrected body. He is not the first one to have been raised from the dead. Elijah was raised from the dead. Elijah raised the child from the dead. You know? And in the Old Testament, we had a few cases of people who were raised from the dead. You know, even in Jesus' ministry, he raised people from the dead, but they died again. Hello? The son of the woman at of the widow at Nain, he was raised from the dead. Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. Later on, Lazarus was raised from the dead. But they still had this body that we have now. Hello? And they lived, and then they died again. Hello? But Jesus is the first person that was raised from the dead with an immortal, glorified body. That's why it's called the first fruits of them that slept. Hallelujah. And then a whole bunch got raised from the dead after his resurrection. We're not given the details. We're just told that the tombs were opened. I like that. Yeah? And many of the, not all. That's why every man in his own order. No wonder why Joseph said, don't leave my bones. I was seen thousands of years ahead. When the Messiah comes and opens the tomb, I'm going to be there, man. I'm sure Joseph must appear to some guys back in those days. Go to his, you know, his children of the tribe of Ephraim and say, I'm Joseph. Bye. See you later. We're on our way up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. Joseph, David, all those guys. That's why they were very particular. They were very particular. You know what David said? He said, I shall be satisfied when I awake with your likeness. You could see the resurrection in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Job. And many others. So anyway, the point is, Jesus was the first fruits. And then there were some after his resurrection. And then we're coming on. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, and the different, I don't want to get into that today. I want to talk about something else before I close. You know, the different orders. We're going to see this in this 1 Corinthians 15 later on. You know, the order of your resurrection. Let me just mention it here in passing. The way you live in this life, the degree of your holiness, your sanctification, is going to determine two things. Is going to determine the order of your resurrection, and it's going to determine the glory of your resurrection. We are not going to be the same. It's not everybody who's going to be raised at the same time. That's why there's first flight, there's second flight, there's third flight, and there's no flight. Oh, yes. No flight means, well, it doesn't fly. It means no fly. He goes, but he doesn't, you know. He's going to wait until great white throne judgment. He's not going to reign in the millennium. The realities. You know, that's why the Bible says, he that had this hope, purity. You see, we've been preached to that everybody will all go to heaven and we'll all be playing harps. It's a lie. Every man in his own order, saith the scripture. One star differeth from another star in glory, saith the scripture. Don't let anybody fool you. Go back to where we were. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. This is just a legal, logical argument that Paul is, attesting to here. Verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You know, you didn't become a sinner because of what you did. You were born that way. You were born in sin and shame and iniquity. Amen. You inherited sin and death from your parents, who inherited it from their parents, and on, right on to Adam. Now, and exactly, the good news is exactly the same exchange. Since we got the sin and death by birth, we get the life and the resurrection also by birth. Give the Lord a clap offering. It's also by birth. Since I didn't do anything to become a sinner, I don't do anything to become righteous. Since I became a sinner by birth, I become righteous by birth. Hallelujah. Is it clear? As in Adam all die, even so in Christ will all be made alive. Next verse. Jesus help me. But, that's what I was talking about. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. And afterwards, it is Christ is come. Let me stop there for today, because I want to talk about something. The Holy Spirit quickened this to me as I was praying and preparing this morning. And we still have a few minutes. Long life. I mentioned it during Mama Finn's 80th birthday. You know, and the thing that really, will probably, I'm going to expand it next time. You know, that struck me as I was preparing was the Bible calls death an enemy. Death is an enemy. You better stop playing around with it. You know, and patting it on the head. And, you know, just like sickness is an enemy. You know, just like sin is an enemy. Why do you resist sin? Because it's wrong. Then why do you resist death? It's wrong. Hello, somebody. And you need to understand as a Christian, therefore, that death is something you should dominate. Now, that doesn't mean you won't die if, you know, you're old enough and Jesus hasn't yet come, you will die physically, you know, so there's nothing wrong in that. But the thing is, you should dominate it. It shouldn't dominate you. For too long, the church has been taught erroneously that death is something you can't do anything about. In fact, in Yoruba culture and the law of religious something, you know, what that means is that God has written it like that. You know, I was even somewhere recently and somebody was preaching and, you know, he was saying it's traditional thinking, you know, that, oh, death, you can't do anything, it can happen anytime, you know, it can happen tomorrow. It's a lie. Now, it's true it can happen anytime if you don't prepare. It's true it can happen anytime if you let it. But then, that's your fault. And it's because you don't know better. Hallelujah. The Bible says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. I'm going to show you, and I'm going to have to continue this in my next lesson. But this is so important. You know, and that's why this truth about the resurrection is so important. The resurrection of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the fact that gives us dominion over death. It means death has been conquered. If it has been conquered, why should it be dominating you? Why should it walk in when it likes and walk out when it likes? I thank God I learned Hurricane Ataki when I was a young Christian. And I heard him and I listened. You know, one of the most revolutionary things I've ever heard, because I came from a sinner background. You know, and of course all my life I've always heard that, you know, people can just die, anything can happen. You know, and I heard Ken again. When I first heard Ken again, he was in the 60s.
This was 35 years ago. He died at the age of 86 in 2003. J.J. Higgins was born in 1917. You know, I'd never heard anybody say anything like that. In fact, I was also looking at the man like this. I said, this man has to be careful, though. You know, my religious rubbish. Kagan said, he was in his 60s, and he was preaching about this. He said, why should death dominate us? He said, I'm not going to die. He said, I'm 60 now. He said, I'm not satisfied. He said, when I'm 70, I won't be satisfied. He said, when I'm 80, I'm not satisfied. He said, until I'm satisfied. And you know, he actually, you know, and you'll be thinking, let me be careful, though. Anything can happen. It's our lack of understanding. It is a lack of understanding. Death is an enemy. You should dominate it. It shouldn't dominate you. Will you die? Yes. But it's only when you are satisfied. It's only when you are satisfied. You know, death can, or rather, let me say it this way, paraphrase it properly. Death shouldn't be able to just walk in and walk out. Come and kill Christians, just kill us anyhow, anytime, you know. And we just roll over and say, yeah, that's just the way the Lord put it. It's a lie. And I'm going to prove it for the truth. The Bible says, thy word is what? Truth. Now, I'm going to give you a few scriptures. The first one, of course, is one we all know very well, which is in Psalm 91, verse 16. I'm not going to bother with that because I'll just hit it running. Which says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And the Lord spoke that to me many years ago and said, you are the subject of that verse, not me. He says, if you're not satisfied, then you keep living. He said, I'll show you my salvation. The purpose of long life is so that you can fulfill the fullness of your destiny. Because the great majority, or rather the fullness of your destiny, usually is fulfilled in the latter part of your life, not the beginning. And there's scripture for that. The Bible says that the end of a matter is better than the beginning. The Bible says that the path of righteous is as a shine that goes brighter and brighter. So the brightest part of your life is at the end, not at the beginning. Hello, somebody! The brightest part is at the end, not at the beginning. Are you listening to me? The Bible says the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. In other words, every year, your house should be getting, the glory should be increasing. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Better is the end of the matter. So, it is a lie. It has to be a lie. Since the scripture cannot be broken, that, you know, I shouldn't live. If you don't live, how are you going to fulfill your destiny? That's why I will show him my. It's because it's in the, as you live longer, you begin to see your salvation. You begin to see. You see the manifestation of. And I will show him my salvation. Now, there is a problem. I'm going to highlight it. I hit it running. We, in experience, we find that this thing is not so. Even though the Bible says so. The question is, why? Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2 to start with. I'm going to look at three things in Proverbs and then close with Deuteronomy. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 1 and 2. Let me tell you something. Whether you live long or not is in your hand. Stop putting it on. Don't even put it on the devil. The devil can only do what you allow him. You know why? He has been conquered. There's somebody. He's called the spoiler of principalities and powers. The conqueror of death. The possessor of the keys of death and hell. He's your Lord, though. So death cannot just walk in and walk out. If you are in a good relationship with the possessor of the key. My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. Verse 2 is my punchline. For what? Length of days and what? Long life and peace shall they what?
if he can add, it means he's not fixed. You don't even have to be, you don't need revelation. Yeah, you need add. So in other words, what I do on earth can either add long life or take away. It's not in the devil's hand, it's in my hand. Notice the condition. My son, forget not my law. You know, if you do it, it will length of days, long life. They're going to add it to you. I've not finished yet. By the time I finish all your religious tradition, I would have broken it down. Pulling down strongholds and casting down imaginations and bringing into captivity every thought of the fear of death to the captivity of Christ. That'll push you all over the whole place. And you know, it's because we're not serious with our Christianity. And then, you know, we all behave anyhow. And the devil just comes and slaps us all over the whole place. I'm looking at a generation of people who will not die. This is part of the characteristics of this end time Joel, Ezekiel army manifesting on sons of God. They will dominate death. Some of us may die, you know, but we will die as with our own consent. If you're old, you know, when you're 120, 130, and you say, oh, you know, I've done everything, I don't want to go, you can go. But you decide when to die, where to die, how to die. Not the devil. I was shocked when I first heard this teaching. I heard it from Kenny Hagin. And he gave the example of E.W. Kenyon. He gave the example of, what's his name? The guy who wrote Christ the Healer. F.F. Bosworth. You know? And also these great men. You know? Even old Wigglesworth. Yeah, you don't just die. These are guys who, they walked with God. E.W. Kenyon, when he was going to die, he knew. Told his wife, told his daughter, I'm going to die. I'm going home today. Gave them detailed in E.W. Kenyon Ministries is still working till today. I just said, you know, I sent them offering recently when I discovered where they were. You know, the books, everything is still the man is dead but is alive. The Bible says he who is dead yet speaketh. He was a man who left a legacy, and he wasn't like Nigerian. He had only one daughter, Ruth. Not that he had many sons, no, but he had spiritual sons. His daughter's husband and the husband, they're dead now too. They now passed it on to another generation. E.W. Kenyon said, I'm going home today. They even thought that he's getting old. He said, He gave them all the things, all his books, what they were going to do, gave detailed instruction. Had breakfast. Then got on a rocking chair. He had a chair in the sitting room. He rocked to heaven. That's a good way to go. Jesus appeared to him. Then he told his daughter. They didn't see him, but he told them. He said, there's Jesus, spoke in tongues and checked. Well, you want to go that way. I don't want devil just come, push all over the whole place. I'm saying it, I'm deliberately pitching it like this to provoke us. Next verse, look at Proverbs chapter 9, verse 11. It's a challenge. For by me, who is me? Wisdom. The word of God. You see, that's the reason. I thank God for Dr. Williams. And wisdom. Christians are not wise. My people perish for a lack. That's why what we're going to do today is so important. This health check. For a lack of knowledge. Don't live in denial. Obey the laws. Doctors say take medicine. Take it. It's wisdom that God gave to medical science. For by me, thy days shall be what? And the years of thy life shall be. It's in your hand. Do you see the devil in that verse? Is Satan in that verse? There are only two people in that verse. You and God. Me, God. Thy, you. No devil there.
He don't come in and don't do anything he likes with us.
That day is over. I didn't hear you. I want a warrior church. I said that day is over.
Brother, let me be very careful. Oh, you don't know what the devil can. What can he do?
That's our problem.
What can he do?
He'll kill you.
So what?
And he can't. Am I afraid? And I tell you, I'm not trying to do superstition. I will not die. By the mercy and the grace of God. And it's not a boast. If it is a boast, it's a boast in the mercy and the grace of God. It's a boast in God. You understand? I'm learning. Everything I'm supposed to do, I do it. By the grace and the mercy of God.
And the years of thy life shall be what? Increased.
So, another lie, that the number of your years have been fixed is a lie. It's a lie. That scripture gives lie to it. It's a lie. Hey, God has given you only 80 years. It's a lie. You can increase it. And you can keep increasing it until you are satisfied. Give the Lord a clap offering. Last verse before Deuteronomy, and then I'm going to close. Am I helping anybody here? This is, and I didn't plan this all. You know my Bible studies are sequential. Are you listening? It just happens to be resurrection and life. And God said, go and tell them about long life. The resurrection, I'm going to say it again. I said it before. I'm going to say it. The resurrection, the reality, the fact and the reality of the resurrection gives every Christian dominion over death. Jesus dominated death by rising from the dead. So you can. Has no right. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27. Thank God for Proverbs. The Lord. No. 27. I need to lay hands on the people upstairs. No, or is it 17? Yes, 27. It's 27. Thank you. The fear of the Lord prolongeth. How many people want their days to be prolonged? Then don't your neighbor say, berolong. You know what that translates to? It means honesty. Keep your hand up, everybody. If you want your days to be prolonged, now turn to your neighbor and say, fear God. With honesty and humility of heart and obey instruction. For the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Hold fast to instruction, for she is thy life. And you will live longer. Give the Lord a clap offering. There is no point us. I don't handle the word of God deceitfully. This is it. So God has told us what to do. But look at it. He said, but the ears of the wicked, those who don't obey instruction, shall be what? Shortened. So it was never fixed. You can increase it. You can shorten it. I find it very interesting that in these particular verses, God does not even mention the devil. Now, I'm not saying the devil is not there. He's there. But you see, it's what I do or do not do that allows the devil to do or do not do. You know why? He's been defeated. Satan has no power. He has power, don't understand me. What I mean is that the power that we have in Christ is much stronger than what he has. The power that he has is the one that we allow him. We're the ones who open the door for him. That beautiful scripture says, neither give place to the devil. It means you can choose not to give him place. I'm going to close. Very favorite scripture. My wife quotes this scripture so often. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 19, 30 rather, verses 19 and 20. I'm going to close with this. And it's so apt that this resurrection teaching, you know, and this dominion over death is being taught today in the Bible study, you know, because of this medical thing we're doing. So many Christians are so lazy, ignorant. They won't even be told. Even the doctors would tell me, you know, Dr. Williams tells me this, you know. He said they are amazed sometimes in the hospital. They tell people what to do, and they won't do it. They won't do it. God brought the answer. Take your medicine. 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock. The same they do with the word of God is what they do with the medicine. If you can obey the instruction of the word of God, it's very difficult, it's very easy for you to obey what your doctor tells you. You know why? You are used to obedience. I call. Open your mouths, please. Heaven and earth to record this day against you. That I, and I'm saying that as Pastor Olubi today to all of us, have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And because I love you, I'm paraphrasing now, choose life. And then choose the responsibility that goes with it. I thank God for good teachers. I thank God for Papa Hagen and Kenneth Copeland. I first heard this in camp meeting, 1980. He quoted the scripture. I just grabbed it. He said, choose life and the responsibilities. I can't just say I choose life. I have to choose life and then the response. Because there are things I have to do to walk in life. Therefore, choose life. I didn't hear you. That both thou and thy seed, that's your children, your grandchildren, may what? Live. You know what you are doing is going to affect generations to come. You see, if God teaches you, he says, I know Abraham. He will teach my house. So this same thing I'm teaching, I teach my children. Then my children teach their children. Their children teach their children. Then we're going to have in our generation, we're going to keep dominating death. Verse 20. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God. That thou mayest obey his voice. I love this. That thou mayest cleave to him. Why? For he who? The Lord thy God. He, the Lord thy God, is what? And the what? And the length, I'm going to close. And the length of thy days. Honey, isn't it interesting? If God is the length of my days, how can my days be short? Eru. It's meditation. Wale, if God is the length of my days, how can my days be shortened? It's not possible. God is the length of my days. He's my life. In other words, if I do what he told me to do and I cleave unto him, I become indestructible. And I will only die if and when I choose to. Because God is the length of my days.
Praise the Lord. I just want to share with us something that I have been ruminating over a long time. It's a scripture that when I got born again in 1983, every one of us knew. I don't know how it slipped us. It kind of slipped us. It slipped us. Mark 11:23. Papa Hagin. If you know Papa Hagin, 1983, we all knew it. Because he cannot say anything without saying Mark 11:23. They woke us up then. We knew what's Mark 11:23. If I said Mark 11:23, I wonder how many people in this generation.
It's a terrible thing. You are right, honey. We were brought up on Mark 11:23.
Know what Mark 11:23 is and what it says.
Thank you, darling.
And I think it's very applicable here. Because it's the fundamentals of everything. Everything that is a mountain. And to us Christians, we fear death. Yes. Death is indeed a mountain. Yes. Yes. So, sometimes when pastor is talking about life and choosing life and living long, I say, lagbara Olorun sha, in Jesus' name. You know, you know, sometimes we religious spirits. Sometimes when you are praying and you know you are making declarations and you are going to add in Jesus' name, but you haven't added it. You brethren, we will be helping you to add in Jesus' name. It's fear. Now just smile. They say you will agree with that prayer, but just quickly put in Jesus' name there. In Jesus' name, so that the prayer will be answered. Now I want us to look at Mark 11:23. You know, because it's so applicable. This scripture is fundamental. You know, it became, for me, it became so real, particularly when we began to pray for Nigeria. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Gloria in excelsis. Nigeria reigns over Nigeria. We had a high praise on Friday night. It was glorious. The kings were bound. Satan was bound with fetters that cannot be chained. He could not resist. He had to obey. And the Lord arose. And Mordecai could not sleep the next day until he did the will of God. So for me, it was a scripture that I had to go back to. Now let's read it from Amplified. Truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain of death, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. That is to say, if you believe, the Bible says, believe the Lord your God, and so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper. If you believe that God has given us dominion over death, and he has given us dominion over death, upon the young adder and the scorpion, and will trample under our feet, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. It's scripture. Now we begin to go back to 11:23, Mark 11:23, and we begin to say, I will live, I will not die. I will live, I will not die. I will live, I will not die. I declare the glory of God in the land of the living. God does not need premature death. Because the dead cannot praise him. Only the living can worship the Lord. So we begin to say, why do you want to believe the lies of the devil? Break it over your own life. Break it over your own seed. With long life, will I satisfy him and show him my salvation? He says, choose. That is, I cannot finish a prayer without saying, I choose. Oh, in unity of faith with the said father of this house, you are the one that told us, I choose life for ourselves and our seed They will live, they will not die. When I say a seed, you are a seed. And that is the reason why you need to be connected to us. Because that prayer spiritually will work for those that are connected. And I will just move down now to why. And doctors will tell you that what I'm about to say now is correct. And it is the reason why I came up to speak. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that is granted. Be confident that with long life. You know, sometimes in your command, Jackie, all sorts of things begin to worry you.
Yes.
Recently, I will tell you something. You may have more faith than me, but when I started, I didn't have faith. I grew in faith. Faith grows. But recently, when we celebrated our 29th year anniversary, I know you like stories. My husband now called me and said, Sarah. I said, yes, sir. He said, remember that even before we got married, because you had stories of aunties that did not have children. Remember the day you called me, we were driving in the car. He said, hey, honey. I said, hey. He said, hey, tell baby, monko show, mind adoption. Come on, yeah. You don't pass to hate or believe like anything. He said, what type of those aunties he married? But you know, my head was filled of the aunties that I could number. That you, Ile Yobi, Tongobi, Ile Yobi, hey, your lunch, Anumio, hey, Tenya Titibesi, prepare a man. Why should that be the thoughts of my heart? And the enemy has done it though. Thank God I had a man who straightened my head for me straight. He said, Kotie, see adoption, Kotie, come up. There shall not be many amongst you that shall be barren. That is what the scripture says. That is my portion. If you are my wife, you will be fruitful. Fruitful by the hand of my table. I say amen. He said, chase. I know, Sarah, where this thing is coming from. Chase it out of your mind. Quick, quick. Now, 29 years later, I said, Sarah, see our God now. We are to see our God. See our God. See our God.
Let me just interrupt my wife and say something. You know that thing was fought. You see, because you see, these things, you have to understand, it was fought. The first concern we had was twins. We lost them. And she almost lost her womb. The other twin was not properly evacuated. So it stayed inside. And we did not know. And it was forming a calcified mole. She was in UCH for weeks. They didn't know what was going on. Then we now went to Dr. Marino. The baby's dead, but he's dead. It would have destroyed the whole womb. So it was the doctors that then they quickly rushed her and did a D&C. And quickly, and even after that, you know, and I'm going to make fun of you. You know, she was once here, honey, we lost the baby. I said, chill. Everything's going well. As we came back from the hospital, this is a true story. I was living in Sultan Bello Hall flats in UR. You know, I didn't have time to cry. I didn't have time to feel sorry. I just took my Bible, went to my study, and started praying.
Amen. Me too, I dusted my Bible. You better don't let your husband leave you behind. Me too, I just said my Bible. I say, hey, sure, you think it is only you that knows the Bible. And those of you, you bear witness with me now. When I came, I was leading worship. Nobody could tell what was going on. People would be looking at me. I didn't care. I went on and my God answered my prayer.
Hallelujah.
For this reason, I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident. That this, it is not your portion that you should die prematurely.
Amen.
It is not my portion in the name of the Lord. Say, with long life, He will satisfy us. If we are not satisfied, it means we should keep living. Amen. Amen. In fact, I asked somebody the other day, I said, Ti Olorun ba ni o yan sin ki lo fe present si Olorun. I was saying somebody to somebody, I said, if God said, oh yeah, what thy come, what is there to present to God? I don't know anyone here who is ready to present anything to God. I am not ready. I still have a lot to do. So why should I shortchange myself in what God has ordained for me and go short of my crown? Crown is waiting for me. And it is for those who have done all that they need to do. Run the race and finish the course like Apostle Paul. So if you have not finished, I have not finished my course. What pastor is telling you is that if you have not finished, you'll keep on living. Amen. I have not finished it. Pastor has not finished. All our children are here. Everyone here, all our seed. You know something, even if you are 90, as long as you are under pastor, you are seated with all due respect. Keep on living. Amen. Amen. And whenever, you see, this is the one I want to say. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, this is what shortchanges our lives. This is what shortchanges prayers. Remember, the Bible even said, husbands, deal with your wives according to knowledge so that your prayers will not be hindered. This is what shortchanges us. This is what shortchanges life. This is what they call psychosomatic. Yes, am I right? There are some illnesses, which cancer is one of them. Where will the DNA begin to malfunction? Because some negative forces, adrenaline that has been there, that is just attacking the thing, one day just causes the thing to malfunction. And if you look at people who are full of bitterness, even their skin, when you are going 80, you be like, mama, mommy, you should be looking at younger. When in the church, in life, when be money, and you want mama, I want 80s, I want, I want mommy, do I want mama, I want 80s. Don't fake, but I have to wash your coat, I have to dress. I want to come up 50 something, but lie, lie. You don't share portion to me. See mommy's skin. See mama's skin. Let me tell you life. Go and compare them with their people. Papa Fee is still saying bring accounting calculation. At 85, almost going to 90, say, Baba, he's not senile. His brain is as sharp. Don't make a mistake. If you tell Baba Fee something and you want to change it, he will tell you it's a lie. He won't tell a lie on me. This is God. We have examples in this chart. So, and these are not Pastor Luby and Bomi said that these are real human beings walking amongst us who we have seen, who life is working for. Now see, whenever you stand praying, that is why I don't know why people like to keep hurts and pains and like to keep bitterness and unforgiveness. I like to have something against their pastors and their neighbors. I like to have something and hindi. You know this thing, you are killing yourself. It says, and whenever you stand praying, he said, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him and let it drop. Leave it and let it go. Baba me, let it go. As long as you are holding it, is your life that is itching out bit by bit. Let it go. In order that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your own failings and shortcomings and let them drop. The wages of sin is death. He will let the wages of sin that is dead against you drop. He will let it drop. There will be no accusation against you that can stand. Because the wages of sin, Papa God, as you are forgiven, Papa God is forgiving you. And the wages of sin, which brings death, drops. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your failings and your shortcomings. And then that means the wages of sin, which is death, stands. And then it keeps standing and standing. And then you wonder why. People are dying. Christians are dying young. Check. Bitterness. Contention. Every evil work shortchanges our lives. Let us stand before God, forgiving, walking in light, obeying His instruction, cleaving unto Him, for He is our life and the length of our days, because He will allow the wages of that sin, that death accusation against you and me, to drop. And if it drops, who can stand against us? He's the only one that can say, let me tell you who to fear. It is Papa God you should fear. May the Lord have mercy upon us and grant us great grace to go back to old time. Mark 11:23. Begin to say to that mountain, be ye cast, mountain of death, whatever mountain it is, be ye removed. Mountain that stands against Nigeria. You know, I cannot stay. We are so passionate about this nation. May I do this? I said, let me wear green. Green is the color of my country. To say, Papa, we can see you fighting our battles. We can see you moving in our favor. We can see you bringing in our miracles. And we can see the walls of Jericho falling flat with high praises, binding their kings. Same thing, let your life be a life of praise. Wake up every morning in a song of praise that sing to the Lord. Let your life be a pleasure unto the Lord. And then you see what will happen. The Lord will begin to have mercy upon you. Not only you, even though, think about yourself. If you are satisfied that the seed satisfied, please, for their sake. Which is what I told somebody. I said, look, there are many things Pastor and I can do, but we do not do. Because when we think about you, we cannot afford it. Because you know something, nobody will come and tell you. I told somebody, and let me quickly round up with that. One of my drivers, on an assignment for us, this is true story, went to Lagos, and on the way coming back, his blood pressure escalated and went pow. But fortunately for me, everybody is here who can testify to this story. I just said, Pastor Wale, I don't know why, I want you to follow them. Just follow. You know, because it is good to have a spiritual man whose acts as a covering. Just follow. Pastor Wale quickly took decision because they saw him, he was going, and they rushed him into a hospital. This is the reason why you must forgive. You must, because you don't have time to be saying, God, forgive me my sin. Because sometimes there is no time. This is, I want to give you a life example. So Pastor Wale rushed him to the hospital. And by the time they got there, his man was practically gone. They had to rush Pastor Wale out. You know when doctors begin to move you out, it means Otinde gbogbo eniye. Pastor Wale said, mommy, life is out of this man. They sent me out. Hey! I started weeping. I said, my friend, my people were there. I started crying. I said, my friend, my God. Now is the time, hey! You were to Abraham. You are my friend. this man is on assignment for me. God, life, return in the name of Jesus. Look, brethren, you may say, did I confess my sin? I did not have time to confess.
No.
It has to be God, hear me now. Papa God, hear me now. Pastor Wale, did you? Pastor Wale was shaking. He was, you know, when a man begins to do, hey God, oh, not on my watch. Oh, it was not it. The man was shaking. Until the jelly. But the Lord answered the prayer. I was weeping like a baby before the Lord. I said, not on my watch, Lord. Not on my watch. Life, return in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Life, you, I call you forth, return. Look, if I had had no forgiveness, the man would have slipped by and gone. The Lord had mercy, and life returned. And today, the man is still on his watch. He's still working. And today we have a testimony of the faithfulness of God, who has the ability to call back life, even when life has ebbed out of someone. Hallelujah! You see, this house, because we don't tell you testimonies, does not mean things don't happen. Things happen. But you see, you have to be bold before God. That is why. In fact, Pastor Tunji has his own testimony. Africa.
Okay, went on a school trip to South Africa. We're coming back home, actually. We're in the airport. We're on the line, as we normally form a queue with the children. All of a sudden, I also in the first slump. All of a sudden, I saw and defend my daughter. We're on the line in the airport. We're departing from South Africa back to Nigeria after the school trip in December. So we're queuing up the immigrations or something, customs or whatever it was. And we're all on the line. All of a sudden, just like that, bright afternoon or something, she just slumped and just went down. And the eyes went, and it, mommy! That was not the, mommy! It was a mommy issue. No, seriously, she had just slumped. Eyes went, you know, and she was going. I just said, mommy, come and see your daughter. I said, my mom's daughter now. You know, and the mommy prayed, and gradually, we just saw her begin to, you know, revive, that's the word. And thank God, see today. Covering! Covering! You don't have the time, like mommy said, you don't have time. If there's anything between us or... Will I have the confidence to shout, mommy? I didn't expect it. She was not strong or anything. There was no time. Just a split second. It just happened. Boom. Praise God.
You've heard enough. Eh? Or is it Pastor Kule's son, daughter, that was practically gone? I've never seen Brother William shake the way he shook. You know he's there. You know they're taught to be very calm and collected. The child was turning blue. He ran and me. I just sat down. Pass. I didn't even call Kule. This is not Kule's matter. This is God's matter. And if you are... Did he say the child should choose? He said the parents should choose life for them and their seed so that they shall live. I just sat inside the car. I said, Papa God, you and I to do. This child is a child of covenant. You know why I said it's a child of covenant. You, Papa, you know why. This child, life return in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, look at that beautiful Hephzibah. It was after I didn't move. I didn't leave that car park until good news came to me. So when good news card come back to me, Jehovah moved in a supernatural way. Now I just took my car. Thank God for our brethren. Thank God for God. Thank God for men who are spiritual. Like Brother Williams, who knew where to stand. Because he was just, he happened in a certain place. I was going to school and I was looking for him. I would not even have found him if it did not happen. He was in a petrol station. God led him there, waiting for me. Now, brethren, listen to me. It was after that I now said to Kunle, I went back to Kunle, I said, Kunle, do tolu. I'm going strong. God is faithful. Don't let anything block life. You know, when we are saying, God, give life to our seed. Are you our seed? Are you connected with us? Our bowels may be large towards you like this, but what about you to us? You know, it's God that knows that. And it is Satan also that knows it. And he knows it. So, brethren, life is our portion. We say to that mountain of death, be you removed and be you cast into the sea. And we do not doubt in our heart. And in the name of Jesus, we have what we say. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Hallelujah. Give the Lord a super clap offering. The Bible says, God will show us things to come. This is not an accident. This teaching and then mommy coming to share like this is because we need it for preparation. You understand? We need it for preparation. So what you've heard today, don't just put it aside. Put it in your heart. Start practicing it. The Bible says life and death are in the power of the... It's not in the power of the devil, in the power of your tongue. The devil can only do what you let him do. So let's all prepare, you know, and just be strong and obey the doctors. All the, you know, God's laws transcend, or rather, you know, they are spiritual and physical. They're not only spiritual. They're spiritual. Then there's the physical. And that's why I said, if you shall obey all these commandments. And he now gave you, go and read Leviticus and all those places. It's full of instructions. We will live and we will not die. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to pray just briefly, because we're still going to pray again later on. You know, and then because the time is gone, we'll just go straight into the... we'll do short prayers and then go into the praise and worship and continue with the medical checkup. Put one hand on your heart. Raise the other hand to God. Say, Father, I confess our sins so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me that you want me to have long life, and you have put the power of life and death in my heart and in my tongue. My God and my Father, I agree with your word that tells me, whosoever shall say to the mountain, be removed, be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says shall come to pass, he will have what he says. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, so that you, my Father, can forgive me. I stand on this word today, and I declare your word. I will live. I will live. And I will not die. With long life, will you satisfy me? And I will not be satisfied until I wear your likeness in this lifetime, manifesting and showing forth your character, your power, and your glory to my generation. And now, I let drop I let go. Anything I have against any man, oh my God, that your life may flow into me from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, bringing health, bringing healing, bringing life in the name of Jesus. I say, life and death are in my power, in the power of my tongue. I choose life. I choose life. I will live long, and my seed will live in Jesus' name. Nekaramataskofre. Nekatushkifri sofrene. Ningaras tokiko. Nikrdeles. Jelebrigo sefriningas. Liranando gadoskefri. Neraka. Toshkifrika tolomoshangar. Lambakatulu. Tolomotofre. Jeka freka klamatulum tulum tufri zofre lambra katushka urak tufri dolomo shelengaya yokor dolomo sha lambra katulum tufri lambaka lambako tushke dore tola katulum tara tufrinis nikutolos nefres jalas nofridis nungaras nikaras tushkefres nifrideles nofris nokatalas nofrideles Nufrideles, Nakatus, Tufrideles, in Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a super clap offering.